First, control. With young children, control tends to be quite easy. If a child doesn't do what he is told to do, he is simply made to do it. If a child is leaving the house and the parent calls him back but is ignored, the parent simply runs after the child, picks him up, and brings him back. Control seems to be fairly easy. But as the child grows older and bigger, parents can't do that anymore. They can't just run after the child and pick him up and bring him back. So with adolescents, control is best achieved when the parents manage those things that the kids want. They make those things available on the basis of appropriate behavior. In this way, the things that the kids want do the controlling for you. For example, the use of the car can be one of those things that is extremely valuable. Having the kids' room cleaned might be extremely valuable to the parents, but not to the child. Therefore, the child resists cleaning his room. So rather than badger the kid to clean his room, the parent simply says, "When your room is clean, you can take the car." It's the availability of the car that controls the behavior, not you. It does the nagging for you. As my children reached driving age, I realized that I had an immensely powerful tool with which to maintain control, and I used that tool liberally. The car was available under a few prescribed conditions, which included 1, that the car be driven in accordance with the law, 2, that the kids put gas in the tank, 3, no classes were skipped at school, and 4, that on school nights, they had to have the car back by 10 o'clock and by 12 o'clock on Friday and Saturday nights. The positive consequences for meeting these conditions were that the kids were able to use the car fairly liberally. The negative consequences varied depending upon the offense. If they got a moving violation, they lost the privilege of driving the car for a month. If they skipped a class at school, they lost the privilege of using the car for a week. If they failed to get in at night on time, they lost the privilege of using the car for 1 week, and so on. But there were other conditions that, from time to time, were also placed on the privilege of using the car. For example, getting the lawn mowed, or getting their rooms cleaned, or getting their chores done. In a very calm, though businesslike and direct and pleasant way, we would tell the kids that as soon as they got the tasks done, and done appropriately, the car was theirs. Of course, they would sometimes moan and groan and carry on. They would assure us that if we would let them take the car, they would get their jobs done just as soon as they got home. They reminded us with great passion that their friends were waiting for them, and that if they didn't get there soon, they would be holding up everybody, that they were the pivotal characters in this whole thing, and that they had to leave immediately. I never ceased to be amazed at the number of compelling reasons that the kids were able to create to justify their immediate need for the car. And although we were not always as precise and consistent as we should have been, typically we were able to calmly respond like a broken record. However, with compassion, by saying something like,
"Yeah, well, I can tell you're really anxious to go, but the sooner you get your work done, the sooner you get the car, and the sooner you can leave."
And then just let it go at that. Of course, there was sometimes a lot of stomping around and a lot of silly behavior and perhaps even some verbally inappropriate behavior. But you just ignore that and go on about your business and let the consequences that you manage their behavior. If they want to carry on and waste time, that's their business. You go on about yours and let them decide for themselves what they want to do with theirs. The important thing is that you control those privileges that are so valuable and so important to them. It's also important that you are reasonable and that you don't set mountains of conditions on top of every single behavior. I've worked with parents who wanted to set huge conditions on even the minutest details of grooming and dressing, of movies and records and so on. This is counterproductive. It simply puts distance between you and your kids. Parents have got to use judgment and restraint and give their kids a chance to express themselves, even though at times those expressions might not be all that desirable. I suggest that parents be careful about asserting themselves in too many areas, preferably no more than 4 or 5, which might include the use of the car, the completion of reasonable chores and duties around the house, being generally pleasant to live with, being home at a reasonable hour at night, and the completion of schoolwork assignments, including regular attendance at school. Once the children learn that reasonable and responsible behavior in these areas brings a lot of positive attention as well as the flow of desirable privileges, they will tend to behave appropriately in other areas as well. The major role of the parent is to manage this consistently and evenly. By that I mean that if the child skips school, resulting in the loss of the driving privilege for a week, the parent, in a fit of anger, doesn't change the rules on the spur of the moment and threaten to deny the kid the use of the car for a month. On the other hand, if the child has deprived himself the privilege of the car for a week because he skipped school, the parent must not cave in 2 days later and let the kid take the car as though nothing happened. Suppose the child has lost his driving privileges and a few days later comes to mom with an absolutely heartfelt plea for the use of the car. Of course, it's linked to a life or death situation. The mother must respond calmly and according to plan, like this. Gee, son, I can tell that you are really going through a lot of misery over the loss of your driving privileges. I'm terribly sorry about that. I know how anxious you are to be able to start driving the car again, and I'm happy that that privilege is going to be yours again in a few days. And let it go at that. True, the kid might stomp off, angry, mouthing off, slamming doors, hitting the wall, pounding his feet, and so on. You may have already experienced these kinds of behaviors and know exactly what I mean. But you are not intimidated by that. The kid has gotten the message that you are in control, and that is so wonderful. I've been working with some parents who have been having a great deal of trouble with their 17-year-old son. And it's no wonder that they continue to have the trouble that they do. We develop plans and set conditions, but almost immediately the parents cave in, and before you know it, the kid is running around town on his motorcycle, spending money at will, and coming and going as though nothing at all was the matter. The parents feel that they are completely out of control, and they are. They refuse to exercise control. Consequently, the boy gets everything he wants. In fact, it's gotten to the point where the parents simply give him what he wants just to get him out of their hair. Nobody wins in this kind of situation. The parents have earned no respect from the boy, and things are only going to get progressively worse because behavior follows that which pays it off. The boy's obnoxious and intimidating behaviors are consistently paid off. Therefore, those are the behaviors that are going to continue.